day you will speak. Father, may we be attentive to listen and hear the truths that have been there before time began and that will echo down through all eternity. May we listen to you speak, that our minds would be renewed. Father, I pray that the words I would speak would be your words. Father, that it would be consistent with your character, all that I would preach, that I would rightly divide the word, and that your people would be edified and equipped, and that sinners would turn from their sin and believe on Christ. Be glorified. May we view your word and hear your word as it is, which is your words directly to us. Amen. Good morning, Grace Fellowship Church. As almost all of you, if not all of you, are aware, we offer financial and prayer support to Brother Tony Miano. Tony is, again, for any of you who might not know, Tony is a man who lives his life as an evangelist. He is retired from being a deputy sheriff, and he now lives his life as an evangelist. What he does is goes out and proclaims the gospel, whether that's through street preaching or through passing out tracts or one-on-one conversations or teaching and preaching. That's what he does with his life. He's 6 days a week, he's out proclaiming the gospel. That is his job, if you will. And he wrote a Facebook post that I want to read because I want us to be encouraged. I'll read this and then I'll just say a few more things. Bobby McCreary and I have finished our open-air ministry for this trip to London. We're already looking forward to returning in 2016. Tomorrow, Sunday, we will spend the Father's Day thousands of miles from our immediate families, but we'll not be alone. Bobby and I fly home Monday morning. The Lord has been most gracious and kind to us. He also has been perfectly patient, and he's allowed us to see him work every day during this mission. We have been undergirded by the prayers of so many brothers and sisters in Christ, including many of you who will see and read this. On behalf of both of us, thank you. While Bobby and I climb deep into the well, seeking to be used of God to pull some out of its darkness and cold confines, calling all people within the sound of our voices or within the reach of our tract-filled hands to repent and believe the gospel. Those of you who have been praying for us have held the rope. You have held the rope. Don't take this lightly. You have held the rope. The Lord has used you, our brothers and sisters in Christ, as spiritual tethers in our lives for the last several weeks, especially during the last 13 days. Bobby and I have put in 13 straight, 10 to 14-hour days on the streets. We're exhausted, and as I like to say, it is the very best kind of tired. There is no better fatigue than gospel fatigue. We have preached in Wimbledon, Woolwich, Barking, Angel, Leicester Square, Covent Garden, Trafalgar Square, Piccadilly Circus, Oxford Circus, Tower of London, St. Paul's Cathedral. By trip's end, we will have worshipped and fellowshipped at Metropolitan Tabernacle Church, Grace Life London, St. Luke's Anglican Church. He goes on, and I'll summarize some of the rest that he says. He and Bobby between them took 20,000 tracts, none of which are coming home with them, some of which they left with other evangelists over in London, most of which they passed out during the 13 days. He was very encouraged by brothers and sisters that went out with them some of those days over there. And what I want us to be is encouraged this morning. I want us to be encouraged by our financial support and our prayer support of Tony has had us have a part in the proclamation of the gospel in London for the last 13 days. And for all of you that have heard Tony or watched, it is the gospel that is being preached. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a call to repentance and a turning to Christ that is being proclaimed. And we should be encouraged. We should be encouraged that without financial support and without prayer, that does not happen. I want you to be encouraged, and then I want some of you to be encouraged to be praying for all street evangelists, but particularly the ones that we would be involved with, including those here in this building. Be encouraged that we store up treasures for heaven, in heaven, every time any money that leaves this place and supports the gospel proclamation, we are storing up treasures in heaven. And I don't want us to rest in that, but I want us to be very encouraged by that. I want us to be very encouraged and very hopeful and thankful for our opportunity to participate in the gospel being preached in London for the last 13 days. We're now going to return to the Gospel of John, the Gospel according to John that we started a couple of weeks ago. Today we're going to be in verses 6 through 9 of chapter 1, where we're going to see John the Baptist who came bearing witness of the light. Please stand as I read verses 1 through 9, and we will be looking at verses 6 through 9. When you're there, stand, and I'll know I can read. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. So in verses 6 through 9, we see there was a man sent from God whose name was John. There seems to be a switch from the focus on the Word, the life, the light, Jesus Christ, to a focus on a man named John. It seems strange, if that's true, that John, the Apostle John, who wrote this, would switch from a focus on Christ and his deity to focus on a man. And as we're going to see, he really doesn't. He really doesn't do that. But he speaks of a man named John and what he did in pointing people to the light. So who is this man named John? It's not the Apostle John who wrote this book. It's not John or Jonah, the father of Andrew, or Peter, I should say, who we see written about in the book of John. It is a different John. Jesus is speaking of John, or John is speaking of John the Baptist. John the Baptist. So who is John the Baptist? John the Baptist is spoken of in all four Gospels and rather extensively in comparison to other men. We see John the Baptist talked about in all four Gospels. So he must be important. So we have to understand who John the Baptist is. And if you know who John the Baptist is, I would ask you, don't check out, because I don't know that I fully understood John the Baptist and his ministry as well as I do now. I certainly didn't before I prepared for this sermon. So let's see who this John the Baptist is. Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to be going through long sections of scripture a couple of times. If you want to turn there, you can. If not, it's behind me. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His father was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So we have Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, both in their 80s probably, both righteous people. By the way, daughter of Aaron, that we'll see it in a little bit, but the Nazarite vow that John was called to is part of the sons of Aaron in Levitical priesthood, but So you have these old people, 80-year-old people with no kid, barren. So you got older than Duncan and Sandy, they have no children. So it was that while he was serving as priest, he, Zacharias, before God in the order of his division, according to custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." So this 80-something man serving as a priest before God is serving in the priesthood at the altar of incense, and an angel appears. And the angel says, "You're going to have a son, and his name is going to be John," or Iones. Iones is God is a gracious giver, is what the word John means. Iones means God is a gracious giver. So he says, you're going to get this gift from God, and you're going to name him a gift from God, or God is a gracious giver. Verse 14, "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. He will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink." Now, along with not touching anything dead and not cutting your hair, this is the Nazirite vow that's from the Old Testament. And the Nazirite vow, and Nazirite means dedication by separation. So basically, all that's telling us is he's not going to drink wine nor strong drink. He's going to be set apart for special purposes. He's going to be dedicated and set apart. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. So this guy, John the Baptist, was filled with the Holy Spirit while in utero. Which, a couple of things. One is it shows God is sovereign over salvation. And if he chooses to save an infant or an unborn child or a child before they're old enough to repent, he certainly can. And that's what he does here. John the Baptist is indwelled by the Holy Spirit while in utero. So he's a special guy, this John. Verse 16, "And he will turn many of the children." Remember, this is Gabriel the angel telling all this to Zacharias. "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children." That's from Malachi 6. It's to make ready. It's fulfilling the prophecy that this John will make ready the people of Israel. "And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So John was going to be the fulfillment of the prophecy in Malachi. He was going to be the herald of the Messiah, the forerunner of the Savior, who would prepare his people for the arrival of the Savior. So John, this baby that isn't even born, isn't even in utero yet, Gabriel's telling Zacharias, this is who John, your son, will be. Verse 18, "And Zacharias said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I'm old, I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years.'" I'm not sure I believe you, he says to the angel. "And the angel answered and said to him, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time.'" So because Zacharias didn't believe Gabriel, that John would be born and then be all of these things, he was mute until John was born. Verse 21, "And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, 'Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people.'" She was going to have this child. So we see that John, from this part right here, is a very special person. He was born to a barren woman, old people, like Abraham. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. He was specially set apart by a Nazarite vow, so he's specially set apart for special service to God. And he was the prophet who would herald the coming Messiah. Now down to verse 57 in Luke 1. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So, just as Gabriel had said, they're rejoicing because the baby is born. And the miracle of this baby being born to this barren old woman. Verse 59, so it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him by the name of his father Zacharias. Look, it was very normal to name your firstborn son after the father. And basically it was a way of saying, hey, he's going to be just like me. He's gonna grow up and be just like me. So they would get the name of their father often, most often. So we're going to call him Zacharias is what they were assuming. His mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. Now this is interesting, and it's a quick sidebar because it doesn't have a lot to do with anything, but I think it's a good teaching moment. Elizabeth was the perfect completing wife. Zacharias can't say a word. He has been told by the angel Gabriel to name him John. He has clearly communicated that to his wife. And his wife says to these people, no, we're not going to name him Zacharias. We're going to name him John. And that was that wasn't something they would have wanted to do. She simply spoke because he couldn't speak and said, his name's going to be John. But they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. So they, in other words, we don't believe you, Elizabeth. So they made signs to the father, what would he have him called? And he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote saying, his name is John. So they all marveled. His name is Ioannis. God is gracious. John was a gift of God to Zacharias and Elizabeth. He was a gift to the world, and he was properly named that. Verse 64, immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all those sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. So, Zacharias, who couldn't speak for over 9 months, he hadn't said a word for over 9 months. And as soon as he wrote, and the baby was born, and he said his name will be John, showing he believed in what Gabriel had told him, he spoke. And when he spoke, the people were amazed. And they said, what's the deal with your kid? So Zacharias told them, verse 67, now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Zacharias had just basically talked about the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He didn't name Jesus Christ by name, but he said, hey, there's a Messiah coming. This is what's been promised to us. This is the promise of deliverance to God's people. Verse 76, and you, child, John, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Zacharias prophesied. He spoke the words of God. Remember, prophecy. He spoke the words of God that he understood from the Old Testament, that he understood from Gabriel, that he understood from being a devout, righteous man. He spoke the words of God concerning John and exactly what his purpose was on this earth. And his purpose was to herald and go before this light. Verse 80, so the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. So John was sent away and lived in the desert by himself as soon as he was old enough. Why? Because he had been set apart for special service. He had but one function, and that was to be this herald. That was to be this herald of the coming Messiah. Look at Matthew's gospel to find out more about John and his ministry. Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. In those days, now the days that he's talking about is the days of Jesus' return with Joseph and Mary from Egypt, because Herod had tried to kill all babies and they went to Egypt. So in the days of Jesus' return, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" We're going to see that throughout. That's, again, Malachi. That's the prophecy in Malachi. And so John the Baptist, from the time Jesus returns, so Jesus is still young, John starts preaching, "Repent and believe, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In other words, Jesus, the Messiah, is here. The Christ is here. You need to repent and be ready to turn to Christ. He was preparing the people for the Lord. Verse 4, now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. He had a very primitive lifestyle. He did not have a lifestyle of the rich and famous. He was practical. This is very practical clothing and very kosher food. He was set apart. He was set apart for a purpose. Far different from the world. Verse 5, then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Now this is why John the Baptist was called the Baptist. A big part of his ministry was baptizing. He would baptize people. He would baptize people in the Jordan who would confess their sins. Baptism, the Old Testament purification. It was a symbol of purification. John's the Baptist baptism was for people who would confess their sin. People would say, "I am a sinner. I need to be cleansed." And they would go to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist would baptize them. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism and said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." He says to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, "Don't come out here wanting to be baptized just because you're Jewish, because you have not turned from your sin. You don't recognize your sin. I'm only going to baptize people who recognize their sin. You have no recognition of your sin. You're not looking forward for a Savior. You don't know you need a Savior. You're going to get cut down and burned up." Verse 11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Again, John the Baptist baptized people who admitted their sin and wanted to turn from it. And then he pointed them to Jesus Christ. He pointed them to Jesus Christ, who would then save them from their sins that they recognized. This theme's going to keep coming, and it's going to come later, but recognize John the Baptist had a baptism unto repentance, pointing them then to Christ, because salvation is repenting and turning to Christ. If you just are sorry for your sin, but you don't turn to Christ, you're not saved. Verse 13, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John the Baptist even baptized Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was baptized. Was it for his sin? Of course not. He knew no sin. But he had to identify with our sin. And to identify with our sin, he had to be baptized, recognizing we were sinners in need of a Savior. And he was going to atone for that. So he was baptized to recognize, to identify with the sin of his people. So that's why John the Baptist is called John the Baptist. His ministry was readying people for the Messiah. And one of the ways he readied them, he would baptize them. A baptism of repentance. Those who would confess their sins, that confessed they were dirty and they needed a Savior. Mark's gospel, we're not going to go through all these verses, but I want you to know John the Baptist is such an important figure that in Mark's gospel, watch how quickly he comes in. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So here is where Mark says is the beginning of the gospel. He doesn't talk about Christ's birth. He doesn't talk about genealogy. Here's what he says at the beginning. And it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Isaiah and Malachi had prophesied. Mark says, here's the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. That's the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a very important man in God's plan. He was the prophet who spoke. Understand, there had not been a prophet for 400 years. In over 400 years, God had been silent. Malachi was the last prophet. 400 years later, John the Baptist. So he was the first prophet the nation of Israel had heard in over 400 years. He was an important guy. He was the evangelist, the first evangelist who would proclaim Christ incarnate. He would be the first evangelist, the one telling the good news of Christ. This guy right here, the God-man, this guy. So, back to Matthew's gospel. This is how Jesus described John the Baptist. Matthew 11, verse 7. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind?" When you went out to see John the Baptist in the wilderness, because remember, he lived by himself in the desert, was set apart for special purposes. You went to see him. Did you go see a man who was tossed around by every kind of teaching? Verse 8, "But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in the king's houses." In other words, did you go to see another of the king's false prophets or priests or false religion? Did you go see a Pharisee or a Sadducee who were all dressed in really nice clothes? No, you didn't go to see that. Verse 9, "But what did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet." When you went to see the first prophet in over 400 years, this is what you went to see. Verse 10, "For this is he of whom is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" Jesus himself affirmed John the Baptist's ministry and saying, John the Baptist is this Messiah, or is this herald of the Messiah that you've been waiting for, that was prophesied in the Old Testament. Then Jesus says this of John the Baptist. This is a big. Verse 11, "Assuredly I say to you, among those born of women." Now who's born of women? Every single person. So, among those, except for whom? Well, Jesus Christ was born of a woman, but not in the way John the Baptist was. So, of everyone born of a woman, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Now, wait a minute. What about Abraham? John the Baptist greater. What about Moses? John the Baptist greater. What about David? John the Baptist greater. This is Jesus talking about John the Baptist. There has not been one born of woman greater than John the Baptist. He was greater than all of those. Why? Why? Why was he so special? Because he was the prophet that was going to, he was the man indwelled by the Holy Spirit, by the way, from the, in the womb. But he was the man who was going to proclaim and announce and herald Christ incarnate, the Messiah, the Savior, the one that, was shadowed or foretold of, but they couldn't figure out the mystery in the Old Testament. Actually, when he came, this man, John the Baptist, had the charge of or the ministry of heralding the King. And he was separated at birth. He was separated. He was saved. He was indwelt with the Holy Spirit in utero. He was set apart, lived this different life from anyone. One purpose and one purpose only, and it was to herald the King. That's why he was the greatest man that ever lived. Not because he wore camel's hair. Not because he ate locusts. Not because he had anything about him. But because of the calling that he had on his life. Because of the part of God's plan that he was. He was going to announce the arrival of the light of the world. Matthew 14, starting in verse 1. What came of John the Baptist? Chapter 14, verse 1. Of Matthew, at that time Herod the tetrarch heard the report about Jesus. So now, fast forward a bunch of years from the time John started preaching repentance because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, started heralding Christ. Many years later, Jesus is now out doing some ministry, beginning some ministry, and Herod hears of him. And he said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had said to him, 'It is not lawful for you to have her.'" John the Baptist called out Herod on his adultery. And his wife Herodias, who was Philip's wife, who Herod had taken, didn't like that. And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. The Jews knew that John the Baptist was a prophet. And so Herod did not want to kill John the Baptist because there might be an uprising. Because he was a prophet, the first one in 400 years. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before him and pleased Herod. So at his birthday celebration, this sinner has his stepdaughter dance provocatively in front of him. And he gets excited by that. And he's so excited, he says, "I'm going to give her whatever she wants." Verse 7, "Therefore he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, 'Give me John the Baptist's head on a platter.'" She wanted John the Baptist dead because her mother wanted him dead because her mother had identified her as an adulteress. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he commanded be given to her. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. Then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. So John the Baptist was beheaded. This great prophet, this great man, this herald was beheaded because he stood on the truth of calling sin, sin. Remember, what was his ministry? Heralding and a baptism of repentance. Calling sin, sin. And when John the Baptist called sin, sin, the sinners didn't like it. And for that, he was beheaded. But he was also beheaded because his job was finished. He had heralded Christ. He had told of the coming Messiah. He had shown the people, here's the light of the world. So it was time. Then, look what it says in Mark 1:14. "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." Jesus came to Galilee to call his disciples and to begin his earthly ministry. The fullness of his ministry started after John the Baptist was put into prison. In Galilee. He was in Judea before that. So, John the Baptist was the greatest man that ever lived. He had a huge following. He was highly thought of by the Jews because he was a prophet, and they knew he was a prophet. He was very well known in all of Israel. He was a big deal. That's why John, the Apostle John, wrote about him, right? Because he was such a big deal. He wrote about him to make sure everybody knew that John the Baptist was a big deal. Well, let's see. Let's go back to today's passage and see why he mentioned John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. It's the guy we just looked at for all that time. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. This passage, this brief interlude, is not about John the Baptist. It's about the true light. John the Baptist was simply sent bearing witness of the true light. John the Baptist was just, he just was sent bearing witness of the true light. Now, I want to look at this quickly because we see in John 5:35, John the Baptist mentioned with the word light. This is Jesus talking about John in John 5:31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. You asked John the Baptist, and he has told you about me. He is my witness, says Jesus. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. In other words, I'm not saying this to puff up John in your sight. Verse 35, he was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. Wasn't Jesus saying John the Baptist also was light? Just like John the Apostle had said about Jesus? Let's look at the light of Christ and the light of John the Baptist. In the passage we're in today, this man came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Down in verse 9 it says, that was the true light. Speaking of Jesus Christ, the Word, he calls him the true light. Alethinos phos. Alethinos phos. Alethinos, meaning real, true, or genuine. Phos, the source of light. The source of light. Jesus Christ is the source of light. Whereas John the Baptist, he was a burning and shining lamp. Luknos, different word. Luknos, and it means a light made by a burning a wick, saturated with oil, contained in a relatively small vessel. It's a lamp. John the Baptist was a lamp shining the light of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist wasn't false light versus true light. John the Baptist was a lamp shining the light of Christ, the true light. He was just a vessel that carried the message of the true light. Just like you and I are vessels that carry the true light. We are not the light. We are not phos. We are not the source of light. Now, the source of light is in us, but we're not the source of light. He came for a witness. Look at verse 7. This man came for a witness. By the way, you see it doesn't say as a witness. He came for a witness. He came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. John the Baptist came for a witness, martyreo. Martyreo, it means to provide information about a person or an event concerning which the speaker has direct knowledge. To witness. To provide information about a person or event concerning which the speaker has direct knowledge to witness. John the Baptist was a prophet. John the Baptist was a prophet that the people of Israel looked up to. He was a prophet that was bearing witness to the light. He was not the light. He was a witness. Look at John 1:15. We're going to get to this in a few weeks, but we're going to look at it briefly today. Verse 15 of John 1. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And all of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." John the Baptist came. He says, this was he, Jesus Christ, of whom I said, "He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." He is God. John the Baptist came to point people from their sins, the baptism of repentance, to their Savior, Jesus Christ, the light. That's what he came for. He was a witness. The Apostle John goes on, verse 19. "Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' John the Baptist was asked." Verse 20. "He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ. I am not the promised Messiah.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' Even though he came in the spirit of Elijah, he was not Elijah. They said, 'Are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No. He was a prophet. He was the first prophet in 400 years. But who is the prophet?' Christ Jesus, not the prophet. He answered, 'No.' Then they said to him, 'Who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? Who are you if you're not Christ, Elijah, or the prophet?' Then John the Baptist self-identifies. He said, same thing we've seen before, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord.' As the prophet Isaiah said, 'I am the herald of the Messiah. I am the promised evangelist crying out from the wilderness that Christ is here. That's who I am. I am who you've been waiting to see for 400 years. I am the one that's here to tell you Christ is here. The Messiah is here. That's who I am.' Now those who were sent from the Pharisees, were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, 'Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?' John answered them, saying, 'I baptize with water. But there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. I baptize with water,' John says. 'That doesn't save anyone. For those Christ church people that would say baptism is salvific, John says, 'I baptize with water. That doesn't save anybody. But there's one greater than me whose baptism does save.'" Verse 28, "These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing." Now, so John the Baptist says, "I'm here. I'm preparing people to see the Messiah." So he prepared the audience that they would see Jesus, the true light. The next day, verse 29, "John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Here's why he was the greatest man ever to live. He's the one who said, "That is the Messiah. Behold, the one who takes away the sin of the world. That's him." "This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.'" He's God. I'm older than him, but he was before me. "I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. I readied Israel by calling them to repentance, that they could then turn to their Savior. I baptized with water. I baptized repentance. Sorry, seeing your sin and your dirt and your need for a Savior, and then I'm telling you, there He is. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And John bore witness. Here's more witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and He remained upon Him. I did not know Him, but He who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on Him, this is He who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. God said to John the Baptist, when you baptize, the one you will baptize, the one that the Holy Spirit will come down upon, that is the Son. That is the Messiah. John the Baptist testified to Jesus being the Son of God, here to take away the sin of the world. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus, he walked and said, behold, the Lamb of God. We'll look at this more, but wow, is there a lot in behold the Lamb of God. John the Baptist wasn't about John the Baptist. He was all about Jesus Christ. John the Baptist wanted no attention or accolades. John the Baptist lived out on his own in the wilderness, in the desert. And He called people to repentance and baptized them into a baptism of repentance. He simply pointed people to Christ. He didn't want the accolades. Now, he had a big following. And people had to get beyond John the Baptist to get to Christ. Acts 19. Verse 1, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, some learners, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, indeed, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Well, that's incomplete. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. To be a follower, a learner, a disciple of John the Baptist, and to be baptized into and baptized by water unto repentance, it wasn't enough. It's not good enough just to recognize sin, but to turn to Christ and live. John the Baptist didn't even teach him about the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist was not to be followed. He couldn't save anyone. Jesus Christ is the only one to follow. He's the only one that can save. John 3, starting in verse 22, you're going to see that John the Baptist was all about Jesus Christ. He was all about the true light. John chapter 3, it's not in your bulletin, you can write it in there. John chapter 3, verses 22 through 36. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. So we got Jesus in Judea baptizing. This is the overlap of the ministry before John the Baptist gets put into prison and then Jesus comes to Galilee. So, now John was also baptizing in Aenon near Salim because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. For John had not yet been thrown into prison. So Jesus is baptizing in Judea, down by Jerusalem, and John the Baptist is baptizing up near Galilee. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, teacher, he who is with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him! Exclamation point. We're losing our congregants, John. They're going to Jesus, the one you talked about. They're going to him to be baptized. What's wrong with your baptism, John? John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. My ministry is done. John says, I've done what I came to do. I'm not the Christ. I can't save you. My message can't save you. My baptism can't save you. My message of Jesus Christ, the true light, that's what can save you. I'm done. Verse 29, he who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. John says, I am excited, John the Baptist says, to hear the bridegroom, to hear Jesus Christ is baptizing, to hear that he is baptizing people that will actually save them. I'm excited to hear that because he is the bridegroom, not me. I'm just a friend of the bridegroom. He is the God-man. He is the Messiah, not me. Verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. He is the only true light. I have to get out of the way so the people will see him. My baptism is inferior. It can't save anyone. It's not just turning from sin. It's not just seeing your sin and knowing you need something. It's turning to Jesus Christ. Mine's incomplete. I'm done. I've done what I came to do. That's to herald the one true Messiah, Jesus Christ. He must increase. I must decrease. Verse 31, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of earth is earthly and speaks of earth. What's John saying? I'm of earth. I speak of earth. I'm earthly. He is heavenly. He's above me. He's above all. He comes from heaven. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony is certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the word of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son, and he's given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Look, what is John the Baptist saying when there's a dispute that breaks out? Jesus is this, the one you testified to is baptizing down in Judea. That's not good. That's going to hurt your ministry, John. No, that is my ministry. Pointing people to go to Christ. All great preachers point people to Christ. All great Christians point people to Christ. They don't just leave people dead in their sin. They point them to Christ. They don't try to build attention to themselves. Joel Osteen. They point people to Christ. And not the Christ that you made up, the Christ of the Scripture. The one, behold the Lamb of God, the one true light. This one. That's where we point people. All great preachers, all great Christians. John the Baptist, not only the first prophet in 400 years, but the first evangelist. The first evangelist that could point to Christ, could show people the person of Christ. And he was all about proclaiming Jesus Christ. So much so that when Christ began his ministry and was baptizing, John the Baptist calls Herod on his sin and ends up with his head chopped off. He was done. He could save no one. Christ can save. You know, it's one of the, maybe it's a meaningless sidebar, but it seems to make sense to me. It's one of the issues I have as a pastor. When people will come to me and they'll want fixed, because pastors are supposed to help you fix your problems. And you can show them their sin. And you can show them you can't live like this. And then when you point them to Christ, they just want to say, no, no, tell me more about what I can and can't do. Tell me more about what the rules are and the laws are, and let me see if I can't gussy up. No, you've got to have Christ. You have to turn to Christ to live, even if you recognize you're sinning. This was John the Baptist. He was a preacher. He was a proclaimer, a caruso. He proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. He proclaimed it by saying, you're a sinner. There's your salvation. Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Jesus, John the Baptist, preached Jesus Christ. He called people to repentance and then pointed them to the true light. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, just before he ascends, Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Just like John the Baptist was witnesses, you apostles, you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Witnesses of Christ. That was John the Baptist's purpose. He came bearing witness of the true light. The light which gives light to every man coming into the world. So the light coming into the world is what gives man salvation. Look at, beloved, it's your and my purpose as well. It was John the Baptist's purpose. It was the apostles' purpose. It's our purpose. Callie, it's our purpose to show people the true light of Jesus Christ. It's our purpose to call sinners to repentance, but calling them to repentance without showing them Christ leaves them dead and hopeless. Don't be confused about John the Baptist's baptism and Christ's baptism anymore. John the Baptist's baptism was of repentance. It was incomplete. It was part of heralding the solution, the Savior, Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was the greatest man that ever lived, indwelled by the Holy Spirit from in utero. A prophet sent from God with a large following. But he was all about the true light. That was his whole purpose. You want to be a great man, great woman? You're indwelled with the Holy Spirit. Be all about the true light. Don't necessarily have to wear itchy clothes and eat locusts. But you sure not look like the rest of the world. I shouldn't stand up here in some kind of a Roman Catholic garb. John 1:6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. All through him might believe. Are you telling me that all believe through John the Baptist? Yes. We don't believe through Christ. We believe in Christ. We believe through man. We believe through the speaking of men and women, the gospel being proclaimed from men and women's mouths. That's how we believe. We believe through people. We believe in Christ through people proclaiming the gospel. And in some ways, we all believe through the words of John the Baptist. Because he was the one who said, that's him. That's Jesus Christ. That's the Messiah. That is the Lamb of God that will take away the sin of the world. That through all him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Closing thought. John the Baptist, the greatest man that had ever lived, was a prophet and evangelist, a lamp pointing people to the true light, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. We too, beloved, are to be witnesses, telling us what we know, telling what we know, directing them to our Lord and Savior, King Jesus. We are to be pointing people to the light of Christ. Tanner and Tyler and Matt and all of you who are yet to believe, I believe every one of you recognizes your sin. Now, you don't want to acknowledge your sin, but you recognize your sin. You are dead in that sin, and just recognizing that sin and feeling bad about it the day after doesn't save you. You have to turn to Christ and live, recognizing your sin. Now, some of you don't even recognize your sin. You think you're pretty good. You don't believe God when he says, none are righteous, no, not one. All our righteousnesses are filthy rags. But if you believe that you are falling short of the mark and you just can't seem to do anything about it, it's because you haven't turned to Christ, the true light, the only way to be made right with your Creator. Holy Father God, perfect, all-wise, all-knowing. What a great plan. What a perfect plan. Your Bible is so true. Your word is so true. There was prophecy about this herald, and the herald came, and he was John the Baptist, and he pointed people, he told people of their sin, and he pointed them to their Savior, the light of the world. Father, he didn't stop with his ministry. He pointed it to the true light. Father, it is true that we can only live in Christ. And we live in Christ as we believe the gospel that we hear from men and women's mouths. May we be faithful servants, proclaiming the truth, calling sinners to repentance, and pointing them to the true light of Christ. Amen.